Okay, let's turn now to the quiet answer. That's in the text. That's page 574 in the second edition and 533 in the first edition. In quietness are all things answered, and is every problem quietly resolved. Right? Obviously, quiet is an important word here. Right? It's used twice in one sentence. Right? And the reason for that is when we as the decision maker, or we as the original questioner that asks, what am I, when we chose the ego's answer, that's what the Course refers to as the ego's raucous shrieking. Right? Ego makes a lot of noise. Right? Separation is a big deal. It calls for great hullabaloo and celebration. Right? Right. Then there's the horrifying anguish of sin. Right? And then guilt. Right? And then the terror of God's wrath. Right? And then there's the making of the physical universe, the cosmos. This has all the earmarks of a grand opera. Right? Great emotion, great drama, right? A lot of noise. So when we chose the ego's response to what am I, the answer being you are separated and individualized, right? We chose a lot of noise. Right? And we know that the purpose of noise is always to drown out the quiet. You can't be quiet and you can't be silent if there's a lot of noise going on. Right? And if you choose to live a very noisy life, it would be because you don't want to be quiet. Right? The natural state of the mind is to be quiet because love is quiet. Right? As we'll see later on, love is silent. God is silent. It's the ego that makes all the noise and the commotion and the racket. So when we chose the ego, right, we chose a lot of noise. Right? And we certainly know how we live in a society which is very noisy. Right? And all of this is a reflection of defense against the quiet of the Holy Spirit, which echoes the silence of heaven. Right, so the Holy Spirit, again, is the quiet answer. In quietness are all things answered, and is every problem quietly resolved. And we'll see a little bit later on in the section that quietness that resolves all the problem, once again, is our choosing the holy instant. That's the Course's name for the process of our choosing the Holy Spirit. Right, there's that very important line in chapter 23 that says, the memory of God comes to the quiet mind. Remember, the memory of God is the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, it's the same statement as we find here. The memory of God comes to the quiet mind. In quietness are all things answered, and is every problem quietly resolved. All right, so this one sentence says a hell of a lot. All right, this one sentence really is an echo of the first principle of miracles. There's no order of difficulty in miracles. Bill Thetford always used to like to say that you could restate that first principle and say there's no order of difficulty in problem solving. Right? Because the miracle is the way we solve all of our problems. Every problem is the same. Because problems are not resolved in the world. There is no world. Problems are resolved at their source. And the source is this blue circle, this questioning part of our mind that chose the wrong answer. That was the problem. Right. What this means then is that the real problem was not the tiny mad idea. The real problem was that we chose the ego's answer to the tiny mad idea, which said it is a fact. And you are the result of that fact. The tiny mad idea being the thought of being separate from God, and now you, the ego says to the Son of God, you now exist as a separated being, the effect of that tiny mad idea. So the problem was not the tiny mad idea. The problem was our turning from this questioning part of our mind to the ego. That was the problem. Which means the answer to that problem is obviously to correct our mistake, go back to the choice point, which is choosing the wrong answer, and now choosing the right answer. All right. This whole section and everything else we'll be discussing today is all based on that very simple statement. The answer to every problem is the holy instant. The answer to every problem is going back to that choice point in our minds, not our bodies, not our brains, the choice point in our minds where we made the wrong choice, and so now we correct that and choose the true answer instead of the ego's false answer. Right? That's the quietness that he's talking about. So there are a few references elsewhere in the course to the biblical phrase of the Holy Spirit being the still small voice. Still meaning quiet. Small meaning, not that the magnitude of his being is small. Small because we have relegated him to a place of smallness. And in his place, we've elevated the ego and made the ego into this humongous, gargantuan presence. Once we truly hear the Holy Spirit's voice, he's no longer small. He's everything. But he always remains still and quiet.